Thank you, Bill. Some people have asked, and some were maybe too polite to ask, what is the relationship of Global Gates with the North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board? And I sort of like to think of us as filling a strategic gap between the two. The North American Mission Board, we have the highest esteem for. I think I shared with some of you the story this morning that it was North American Mission Board missionaries who reached out to Chris Klayman, Global Gates founder, and said, there's a lot of unreached Muslims here in Harlem. They recognize, and we recognize, that there's far more work to be done here than can ever be done. But what we've seen is that there's lostness in North America, and then there's unreachedness in North America. And what we found is that with some people, they have already come to faith in Jesus Christ, maybe in another country. And when they immigrate to the United States, they're literally just looking for a community that they can plug in with. And if you build a church or rent a facility, help facilitate a new church start, they will flood into it. One of my friends said, and I've got a lot of good Filipino friends. We used to spend a lot of time in the Philippines. There was a time when the Filipinos were so responsive, they said, you get 10 Filipinos in a room, you get 13 professions of faith. Now, these people are hungry for the gospel. And you know, there's different groups at different times. It's sort of their moment. We had Haitians who were coming in, Cubans who are now so responsive to the gospel. But what about the groups that are not responsive or that seem to be more difficult? I don't know if you realize it, but Islam is the only major religion in the world that was designed, customized, tailor-made to defeat Christianity. You can't say that about Buddhism. Buddha never knew Christianity. You can't say that about Hinduism or even Orthodox Judaism or Confucianism or Taoism or animism. They all precede Christianity, but Islam emerged in the full light of Christianity and was designed to refute and attack and combat and defeat Christianity. And for about 14 centuries, that's exactly what it did. Well, if you've got limited missionary force, and you're going into a place like New York City, and you want to start as many churches and win as many people to Christ as possible, which neighborhood are you going to focus on? The Somali neighborhood, the Yemeni neighborhood, or the Filipino neighborhood, and the Brazilian, and the Haitian, and the Latino, Hispanic neighborhoods? Well, what we found is it takes a little more time to crack that nut of these least reached people groups, and that's the gap that we see Global Gates filling. We love our NAM colleagues. We love our IMB colleagues. In fact, one of the first things we do when we train our missionaries is we make sure they know the North American Mission Board missionaries that are working around them. We make sure that they know the Southern Baptists and other evangelical churches around them. And then we connect them to the International Mission Board missionaries who are working with their people group on the other side of the world. Because there's a wonderful synergy that happens when we connect those dots. When we were with the International Mission Board for 31 years, one of the frustrating things for us was when we would be home on furlough in the U.S., and we would naturally know where our people group was. For example, when we lived in Egypt, we knew that everyone in Egypt had a cousin in New Jersey. I mean, they all did. They all knew. They knew New Jersey as well as they knew Alexandria, Egypt. And so when we came back, we knew that there was a lot of ministry opportunities. In fact, it was from New Jersey that Omar Abdulrahman, back when we were there in 1993, he launched the first attack on the World Trade Towers, almost brought him down with an explosion. He died, by the way, last week in prison. But we knew him because other people around us in Egypt knew him, and we longed to be able to have a ministry to that people group in New Jersey, but it really wasn't acceptable. Our territory was international, and that territory was North American Mission Board, but there weren't any North American Mission Boards in the missionaries in the middle of that Egyptian Muslim community. And that's the gap that Global Gates is trying to fill. So I hope you understand that. That's a strategic gap we're trying to fill. But we're also trying to take advantage of a strategic opportunity. I mentioned to you this morning that what we're seeing that's different today is this is not just a refugee ministry. It's not just an international student ministry, even though those are component parts of this diaspora ministry. It's really a global gateway ministry, because unlike years gone by in the past when we were isolated once we moved overseas, nowadays we're connected. Our missionaries are staying connected back here. They scan their Facebook page and they know what everybody's doing. Sometimes before, you know, the next person closest to them knows what's going on. We had a woman that, in my interviews of Muslim Movements to Christ, I had a woman in a country in North Africa who was from a Christian background, but she spoke Arabic fluently. And she said, yeah, she said, I'm leading a new church start over in the United Arab Emirates. It was about 2,000 miles away. I said, what do you mean you're leading a new church start? She goes, well, I met them on Facebook, people who were seekers. I've been able to help them download the gospel. They've seen the Jesus film. Now they've come to Christ, and I lead them in a weekly discipleship group using Skype. She said, I call it my discipleship group. Don't you love that? Well, that's the new day that we're living in today, when people we're talking to here have relationships that continue on the other side of the world, and we're trying to fill that strategic moment. But there's a piece missing. And that piece missing, quite frankly, a strategic piece, maybe the most important of all, that piece is you guys. We need your help to accomplish this mission. You say, but David, there's not that many internationals around us. We don't live in St. Louis. We don't live in Kansas City. We certainly don't live in New York City. But one of the challenges we have is this. We've got a distribution problem, a gospel resource distribution problem. You guys got it first, not because God loves you more than he loves them. You got it first so that God could use you to take it to them. Did you get that? You know, Numbers 23, there's a story about those the invasion of the Promised Land, and there were those half-tribes that settled on the Transjordan, the half-tribe of Manasseh, and one of the other tribes, I forget which one. Thank you. What was that? Gad and Reuben. And they wanted to stay on the east side of the Jordan and not cross over into the land where all the combating and fighting was going to take place, because they said, we have a lot of cattle, and behold, this is a place that's good for cattle. So they went to Moses, they went to Joshua, and they asked permission, can we stay here? And he said, look, here's the way it is. You have a lot of cattle. This is a good place. We understand you want to stay here. But what about your brothers who haven't yet received their inheritance? Should they let you stay here while they go and take all these risks and fight all these battles? They need you to go with them. But if you will go to the forefront of the army going in, if you will lead the charge until every one of your brothers has received their inheritance in the Promised Land, then you can go back to your inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. I look at Missouri as the east side of the Jordan. I look at Arkansas. I look at the whole Bible Belt. This is simply the east side of the Promised Land, because it's not the whole thing. God didn't love you more, and that's why he gave you such a wonderful, fabulous place. He loved you so much that he chose you to reach the other side of the Jordan. And the other side of the Jordan are these immigrants, these lost ends of the earth people that God has brought to our neighborhoods in New York City, in Los Angeles. I was in the San Francisco Bay Area about a month ago. My wife and I were visiting our Global Gates workers there, and we went down into the towns of Fremont and Hayward down in the South Bay of San Francisco Bay Area. This is an area that used to be like a big automobile producing area, a lot of big car plants. I think Saturn had a plant there at one time. It's now known as Little Kabul, as in Kabul, Afghanistan. 60,000 Afghans there. Now, Afghans, I've been to Afghanistan. I've got a dear friend who lost her life in Afghanistan. There's a lot of fighting and hostility. If you're a guy that looks like me, you don't last long going around preaching the gospel in Afghanistan. But let me tell you who these 60,000 Kabulis are there in Hayward and Fremont. Many of them were the translators, the helpers, the colleagues of Americans in Afghanistan. They're patriotic. They love America. But they're lost as can be. And no one was reaching out to them with the gospel, because it was easier to reach all the other groups that had come into that area. We now have three families with Global Gates that are working with these Afghans. But we need your help. Because you see, it just so happens that that area, the South Bay of San Francisco Bay Area, doesn't have a whole lot of evangelical churches. Certainly not many Southern Baptist churches. And so unless evangelicals from this part of the kingdom of God, this part of the promised land, will reach out and be a part of those places where really you could say, but we don't need those places. We have everything we need right here. But I urge you to take that attitude of seizing the promised land, and until all of our brothers and sisters come into their inheritance, don't rest. Don't rest. In fact, it's in that same chapter in Numbers where the people are told, but if you do not go, be sure that your sins will find you out. I think that's what God is saying to us today. And we can reach them here. Our cameraman, I love this guy. He's with YWAM, a fellow from Colorado Springs. He was going around taking pictures, and he was videoing at one point into one of the mosques, taking pictures of people praying. One of the guys stood up and he said, no. And so my friend stepped back and he goes, wait a minute, this is America. And he stepped right back up and turned it back on again. He wasn't being mean, but he wasn't backing down from the unique thing that God has given us, a free, open country where we can share our faith, where we can tell people of the love of Jesus Christ. And if they say no, we can simply pray for them and come back and tell them again later. That's our opportunity. That's the open door that Christ has set before us. We're going to have our talk back time this afternoon. I look forward to having a chance just to dialogue with you. If you have questions or thoughts, you may be surprised to find that even though you're not living maybe in a global gateway city, that God is bringing the very ends of the earth to your neighborhood. My 84-year-old mother, she looks for people who look out of place. And she sidles up to them. She saw this woman walking down the street in her little neighborhood in Bartow, Florida. And the woman clearly was Asian. That's all my mother knew. My mother walks up. She's about this tall. She walks up to this woman and just starts talking to her. And the woman smiles and shaking her head. It wasn't for another couple of days my mother realized the woman didn't understand a word she was saying. My mom has gone on to teach her English and to get her a New Testament in Chinese and to bring her to church. And she had never been to church in her life. Now, those are the kinds of things we can do. God is giving us those opportunities. So let's talk about how we can be a part of this huge ends of the earth ministry that God is bringing to our neighborhoods. Thank you.